You're listening to Preferred Perspectives with host Morgan Mattson, founder and president of Preferred Counsel. It's the San Antonio legal podcast that covers all things legal careers, staffing, and industry trends. It's real talk. It's real counsel. Now here's your host, Morgan Mattson.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Morgan Mattson, president and founder of Preferred Counsel. You know, a lot of times I get phone calls from lawyers really asking me a question that revolves around a repetitive theme. You know, I'm at a big law firm and perhaps I should go practice with a boutique or a standalone practice, or maybe the reverse. Someone started out with a smaller size firm and are presented with the opportunity to go to a tall building firm, a big law firm, an international firm. And they ask me, you know, what are the advantages or disadvantages of making that potential career moves? And I don't think there's always a single answer. It always revolves around that individual person's career goals, what they want their trajectory to look like. But I get the question enough to where I thought it would be a great podcast. And so I started thinking about who would be a perfect guest to provide some insight. I wanted to have someone who had walked the shoes of a big law lawyer, of an international law firm lawyer, but who had also been on the other side in a smaller practice, a boutique practice. And I started going through the list of great lawyers who fit that description. And it just occurred to me, Emma Cano would be a natural guest to have. And so I am pleased today to offer to you, our listeners, for today's episode, to go big or boutique? That is the question. And our guest is Emma Cano, a member of Jefferson Cano, a great local firm here in San Antonio, where the principal members all formerly practiced together in the business litigation department of a very large, very prestigious international law firm. But then they decided back in about 2005, I believe it was, to transition to a smaller boutique firm structure. Before I introduce Emma to y'all, let me tell you a little bit about her. Emma is a 1999 UT Austin undergraduate degree with honors, Hook'em, and a 2002 law degree from Texas Tech, and she was magna cum laude, Order of the Coif, and Texas Tech Law Review. A little bit about Emma. She has extensive practice in all aspects of litigation. That includes early case assessment, alternative dispute resolution procedures, all facets of discovery, including e-discovery, motion practice, pretrial preparation, trial and settlement. Emma has tried more than 20 cases to jury verdict, as well as various others before the bench, and she has successfully defeated claims on summary judgment on behalf of her clients. Although Emma litigates cases throughout the state of Texas, her fluency in Spanish and her Hispanic roots uniquely position her to litigate cases throughout South Texas. Her practice focuses on complex commercial litigation with experience litigating matters in both federal and state courts. Her cases cover a range of commercial issues, including fraud, partnership disputes, franchise-related controversies, contract and construction disputes, bond claims, insurance coverage disputes, and other litigation matters. Emma has defended numerous catastrophic injury and fatality claims in a variety of industries and has represented businesses in numerous tort matters. Additionally, Emma has represented franchisors in various industries, including tax preparation companies, auto services, and food services companies. Hey, Emma, that is a fantastic resume. I know there's so much more to it, but I just couldn't wait to talk with you. And so I'd love to
stop right there, Morgan. Thank you. Please do.
I am so happy that you agreed to join us on this episode. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Good to talk to you, Morgan.
You know, you previously practiced at a large international firm, correct?
Yes.
And is that where you started when you came out of law school?
So I did. I clerked, I'm a former attorney at Haynes and Boone that has offices all over the U.S. and some international offices. And I clerked with them during law school, and I was fortunate enough to get an offer from them. So I literally started with them as soon as I graduated from law school. And was with them as an associate and all the way through until I made partner. And then we ended up leaving a couple of years after that.
Excellent. Okay. So your experience then, I mean, you started as a brand new young lawyer with Haynes and Boone International Law Firm.
Correct. Yes.
And then now you're a shareholder with Jefferson Cano. and y'all are a boutique firm.
That's right. Right. Okay. Quite a different perspective, but yes, absolutely.
I bet. And so, you know, when you were just starting out, tell me what was it that attracted you to the large footprint that Haynes and Boone offered?
You know, I'll tell you, when I was in law school, I didn't really know about the big firm culture, the big firm way of life or anything like that. I didn't have any lawyers in my family. So it's not like I had, you know, examples of what it was like to be a lawyer. All I knew is I wanted to be a lawyer. But as I'm going through law school and doing well, and these clerkship opportunities came up for the summer after my second year of law school, and I take two clerkships with some large firms, and okay. It really opened my eyes to what the big firm experience was, right? And so you've got these very large platforms of lawyers, all successful, all accomplished, smart people who are working together, doing work for some of the most interesting companies and clients. And, you know, so it was really pretty fascinating. One of the things that drew me most to it was the nature of the work that they did and they continue okay. to do, just because it's so interesting, right? And the big law firms tend to have more sophisticated work, a more complex type of work that naturally requires kind of more capabilities. And so there's just kind of a unique thing that the large law firm can bring to certain types of disputes.
Right. And so from the get-go, you were kind of just drawn to that big life, a big law firm client and case kind of composition.
I think that's right. And I think it's really about the cases and the clients. It wasn't necessarily the big law firm in and of itself, because I didn't okay. really know what that entailed. But I knew that I liked the sophisticated work and, you know, doing the work for sophisticated clients. And so that was kind of hand in hand, and really was one of the draws to the big firm.
And as you grew as a young lawyer, you said you made partner at Haynes and Boone. Tell us about that. Like, tell us about that experience as you spent your time there, how you saw that culture and how that impacted you.
Sure. So, you know, my experience was a little bit different than the typical big firm experience, primarily because I was an associate in a small office of the big firm. And so when I started as a first year, I was the only new associate that was starting. And the associate that had started before me last was about 5 years more senior than me. So there was a gap in the need within that office and within, you know, that particular part of our firm that I think I was uniquely positioned to fill. Okay. Now, if I had been in one of the larger offices and I had started with, you know, 20 first-year associates, I think my experience might have been considerably different. And I'm not sure that I would have enjoyed it quite as much. But because of the dynamics and because of how it worked, I was able to jump in and I had to do everything. Yes, I was doing the discovery. Yes, I was doing the discovery disputes and, you know, the document review that everybody has to do when they're first starting practice. But I was right. also getting to take the depositions, and I was also attending the hearings, and I was also conducting the mediations and doing all of the things that perhaps I may not have gotten to do right from the very beginning. But for the fact that there was a need and we didn't have people kind of in between me and the next person. And so I did get a lot of responsibility early on, and I did get exposure to a broad just type of work that lawyers do. And so it just didn't feel like I was the first year lawyer kind of locked in the library doing only research projects or getting stuck on document reviews or anything like that. And so I think it was very helpful to my development. And frankly, it was just a good opportunity for me.
You know, you raise an interesting, I guess, shade of gray to that traditional dichotomy, because a lot of times when I talk to younger lawyers and they're talking about their different experiences, sometimes it really does matter. Are you in a smaller office of a larger firm, or are you in the headquarters, the mothership of that large firm? And sometimes the experience can be quite different.
That's right. No, and I think that's right. Now, I did have opportunity because we worked in sections. And so I was in the litigation section, and I did mm-hmm. have the opportunity to work on some cases with other offices. It wasn't like I was just working with people in the San Antonio office by any means. But there were these kind of larger projects where it required the firm to pull in people from different offices and just kind of create a team that made sense for a particular case. And so I did have some exposure to kind of some of the cases where we had just large scale teams in place for the sake of kind of getting a job done. And I think that's when I was able to see kind of my counterparts who were in the larger offices and was able to work side by side with them and see a little bit, catch a glimpse into their experience. So, but you're right. I think it has a lot to do with the office, the size of the office, and frankly, the makeup of the office, the people that are in that office that you see every day. I think that just lends a lot to the various different experiences that, you know, young lawyers can have at large law firms.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the advantages, I guess, from a big firm could offer is to a younger lawyer is that opportunity to get exposure to different lawyers, different practice styles across multiple jurisdictions, multiple states. There could be growth opportunities, perhaps getting to transfer to a different office that obviously a standalone or a boutique firm likely wouldn't offer.
Absolutely. You know, not only the resources in infrastructure, but the resources in people, in talent, in lawyers. I think that's pretty impressive from a large firm perspective, because you do have some very sophisticated, smart individuals all over the country in a firm like this, in different cities and different experiences, different exposure, different clients that they represent. And so you do have access to a lot of that by nature of the big firm.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, on the flip side, though, and obviously you were able to navigate your way around this, but sometimes I've heard from lawyers at bigger firms that they're a little frustrated in comparison with their counterparts at smaller firms with respect to the velocity with which their experience grows. Oftentimes a big law associate can be stuck on a huge docket, but doing just a very finite part of it, or can be doing document review after document review after document review, whereas his or her counterpart might be already taking depositions and the cases that he or she are handling. And it sounds like that was kind of, you know, a situation that you were confronted with, but because you were in the San Antonio office, you were able to get more hands-on and a broader set of experience.
I think that's right. And I think that can be a common experience among young lawyers in large law firms where they do get stuck. I say stuck. I don't mean that in a negative connotation by any means.
Oh, no, yeah.
But they get kind of assigned to a certain docket, or they get assigned to a certain document review kind of experience. And that is an issue. Like I said, it can be an issue. I think if the young attorney is willing to kind of put themselves out there and talk to people and make it so that people know, hey, I'm interested in doing something else, I'd like to do something else, that often lends itself to new opportunities. And even though I wasn't in a situation where I was on one particular docket, again, because the size of our office, I also made it a point to reach out to people that I would encounter and meet, partners, you know, in the various different offices, that I enjoyed what they did and I got to meet them. And then I, you know, I'd be looking for the opportunity to be able to work with them. And so I was able to do that pretty well throughout my career. And I think that is part of what led to my success at the firm, because people knew me, people trusted me, people, you know, if they had other lawyers within the firm, if they had cases, they would sometimes think of me and say, hey, Emma would be great to help on that case. If I had not had that exposure to them in the past, that they may not even know who I was, but they probably would not be thinking of me top of mind as a person that would be the right fit to help on their particular cases. So I think there is that opportunity to be able to kind of expand your reach, even as a young attorney. And I think some attorneys perhaps are hesitant to do it, or maybe don't realize that they need to do that. But I think that's very important to an attorney's personal development.
I think that's right. And so, yes, you have to consider that the big law model is going to really require you to, it's going to put the onus on you as a young lawyer to reach out to different shareholders or partners and make sure that your presence is known, and make sure that when those opportunities have come around to gain more significant experience or additional depth of experience is probably a better way to put it, that you've got to take that initiative.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that was something that really served me well because I was able to create certain relationships with other attorneys throughout the firm that really were part of what helped get me to the partnership level. Because not only because they're providing work, and I will tell you, there's one particular attorney that I can think of that, you know, I still think of her as a mentor. I'm not in touch with her as much as I was, obviously, when I was at the firm. But she did things so well as far as being a mentor. And one of the things she told me early on, and she's thankfully, she's very pro-woman. I mean, obviously, she works with men and she is happy to provide work to men. But she says, I want to make a concerted effort to make sure that I am helping other women within the firm. And I'll tell you, there were not a lot of women within the firm who had that perspective. So it was really nice to see. And she says, and Emma, the best way that I can do that is by helping you get work. And how do I help you get work? First, it's introducing you to my clients. It's putting you on my cases. It's because you having the work is the only way that you are going to be able to succeed. Right. If you don't have the book of business, then you're not going to get anywhere. And so she saw the mentorship, not just, hey, you're doing a great job and make sure you do these kinds of things. But she really put her she just really had an invested interest in my personal development. And so she did have me work on her cases and did introduce me to her clients and help me develop as an attorney, as a professional in a way that very few people in my career have. And so she just sticks out in my mind as one of these people that it was just very fortuitous that I did, you know, come across her and was fortunate enough to be able to work on her cases. And she kind of helped develop me throughout the years while I was at the firm.
Yeah, it's so important to have a great mentor. I mean, you've got to have somebody that really is your champion, that mm-hmm. who believes in you and who can share experiences. And you nailed it on the head with that one. I can't tell you how many times I talk with people just in general career advice. And, you know, it's so much about, you know, what is your network and who is your mentor and how can that person help you? And so that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very important.
Well, so let me shift gears a little bit with you. So you had been practicing since 2002. And in 2015, you and several of your other partners decided to leave the firm and go the boutique route. You started Jefferson Cano in 2015, if I'm not correct. Is that right?
That's correct. 2015, December of 2015.
Okay. And so, I mean, that was largely based on relationships because the people you were practicing with previously now became your partners in this new endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were fortunate to be with a great firm. And all of us will tell you, we loved being at the firm. And if you just look at our trajectory, one of our partners had been there for 26 years. Another one had been there for 19 years. Another one had been there for a little over 15 years. And I was the youngest one, had been there for about almost 14 years, 13, 14 years. Right. So we were all long-term, you know, firm supporters and believers. And we just cannot say enough good things about our experience there. And at some point, we just kind of started thinking about it the way I think this often happens, where you think, I wonder if we could do this on our own. Not because there was some big event that kind of pushed us out or pushed us to the edge or anything like that, but just because you kind of start to get curious about the ability to do things and to do it differently. Obviously, we were with a big firm and we've got a management committee and we've got a managing partner and all of that. And so, you know, we didn't get to have the direct influence and control over where the firm is headed.
Right.
And so, you know, at some point you start thinking about, well, it might be nice to be able to do this. And so we started thinking about it, started talking about it. And we said, well, why don't we try it? Let's see if this works. I will tell you, one of the biggest concerns in doing that is, and we, you know, many a times sat around talking over a glass of wine saying, are clients going to come with us? Is anyone going to hire us? I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you wonder, and until it happens, you're just not sure. Maybe people are going to say, gosh, what are these crazy people, you know, doing? They're not going to get any clients.
No kidding.
So we really did have that concern. I think it was one of those concerns that's kind of in the back of your mind that you're hoping is not a reality, And obviously we had confidence in ourselves and in our relationships. But going back to the relationship point, I think that's right, is so we had a really strong relationship amongst each other where we said, hey, let's go do this. Let's try it out. And we felt comfortable enough that we had good relationships with some of our clients, at least, because we thought, well, some of our clients are likely to come with us. Maybe not all of them, because they've been with our former firm for so long. And that's understandable. We don't expect all of our clients to come with us, nor do we think it's appropriate, you know, for some of them, just because of the nature of their business and their needs. You know, we may not be the appropriate firm to handle their business, depending on what it is. And so we kind of went into it with our eyes wide open as far as the possibilities that, you know, we're going to have to hit the ground running and we're going to have to start drumming up business and generating new business. But back to that relationship, we also felt very comfortable that people know us in town. The lawyers know us, the community, I think, in different areas, you know, we're involved in the community in many respects. And so we've got good connections in the community. The judges know us. And our clients, certainly, that we've already worked with in the past know us. And so it really was, we were comfortable that we've worked hard on these relationships. And we think these relationships are just going to end up helping us, carry us through this transition. And we're fortunate enough that here we are almost 5 years out. And it's exactly the way it's really panned out.
Amen. So you're 5 years into a successful boutique practice. And so tell us, what's the biggest difference in the day-to-day that you've noticed from your prior life as a large firm law partner to now running a successful boutique?
I will tell you, the biggest difference for me personally is the fact that I now have management responsibilities, you know, that I never even had to think of before. If we're talking about payroll, I'm handling it. If we're talking about having to, you know, approve a supply order, I'm handling it. If, you know, making sure that we have credit cards for the firm, I'm handling it. So it's all of these things that, thankfully, at the big firm, I didn't even have to think about. All of a sudden, it's all of these details that it's like, oh, wait a second, it's our firm. So we have to think about it. I have to think about it. And so I think that's the biggest difference, is that now we are tasked with running a business, whereas before we were running our practice. And so now we do have to focus on that. We're small enough where we still don't have a dedicated office manager. We have people that help us in different capacities, but we don't have, you know, your traditional one-person office manager who helps handle those things. So so as the partners of the firm, as the principals of the firm, it kind of falls on our shoulders. And so there are those added responsibilities in addition to the practice of law. But that's probably the biggest difference, because I will tell you, for us, because we were already a group that worked together, it almost felt like we picked up our practice and we moved it to a different floor.
Just moved it over.
Yeah, because we're actually in the same building that we were in before. So it's like we just literally lifted us up and placed us somewhere else. And, you know, we still see each other. We still do the same type of work. So, you know, there are those types of differences where we don't have the huge resources of a law firm from, you know, from the staffing perspective or from the technical support perspective. We used to have a help desk where if you had any technical issue, you literally would dial 911 on our internal telecom and you would get the help desk. And they would fix whatever formatting issue, you know, if your computer is doing something funny, they would go in there, remote in, and they would fix it right there on the spot. And so we had this whole team just available and dedicated to us at any given moment. Well, we don't have that anymore. And so those slight adjustments where, but it's all about perspective. You know, it's understanding that, well, we're not a huge law firm that has those resources available. So we can't expect to, you know, to operate that way. So it's just kind of shifting our perspective a little bit and adjusting ourselves so that, you know, we have realistic expectations, frankly.
What advice might you give a young lawyer who's faced with that crossroad decision? Do I go big law or do I, you know, pursue a boutique environment? What would you say?
Well, I think it has so much to do with the quality of life. If you are at a large firm and your quality of life is exactly what you want and you're comfortable with it, and you like the experience, then fantastic. If you're looking for something different for the sake of being able to kind of manage your own firm, or not necessarily manage your own firm, but with a smaller boutique, you have more influence in the direction that the firm takes. And so if you're interested in doing something like that, then maybe a smaller boutique is the way to go. Now, the most important thing, though, I think to consider in both scenarios is the mentorship access that you have.
Absolutely.
Make sure that you have a mentor, whether it's within the firm or outside of the firm. I think that is one of the most important things because, frankly, my partners started off as my mentors. And I've learned so much from them. We're now equals in the sense that we're all partners, but I still see them as my mentors and I still learn from them on a daily basis. And I think they would tell you that they probably learn from me on a daily basis as well. And so it's just having those relationships. And again, you know, I have mentors outside of the firm, but just having someone that you can always reach out to and run different scenarios by, or run different ideas, or frankly, just ask advice from, is really, really crucial to your success.
We're speaking sometimes in generalities. And one of the things that, again, generally speaking, that I've kind of noticed, and when I'll talk with younger lawyers is, you know, the question about whether they want to build a book of business of their own. And it seems to me that generally speaking, at a smaller boutique firm, there's maybe greater flexibility in how a particular file or a particular client is handled from a billing perspective. And maybe the structure is such that it allows a younger lawyer to develop a book of business on their own. And sometimes that may not be available at a larger firm because perhaps that lawyer is working with, you know, large institutional clients. But then again, that lawyer may enjoy the fact that those clients have been around forever. And there's not any pressure to develop that as an additional book of business. You know, it kind of goes both ways. What is your thought on something like that in terms of, you know, kind of building your own destiny, choosing your own adventure?
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, different people handle it different ways. There are some people that, some lawyers that are interested in, oh, my goal is to have as big a book of business as I possibly can. There are some lawyers that frankly are like, I don't want to develop business. I want to just work. I want to go into the office every day
right. And
know that I have a stable supply of work. And that's okay. Both of those are acceptable. Both of those are just fine. I think it just depends on the personality and the individual who wants to do that. But I think at the boutique firm, at the smaller firm, you have a lot more flexibility. Again, because it's a smaller management team, I suspect, than it will be at most large law firms. And so at large law firms, you have, these are your billing rates, these are your billable rates, and it's kind of what you rarely deviate from those. And if you do deviate, you've got to go through all of the hoops and get permissions and authorizations to be able to do that. And so you don't have that quite as much at the smaller firms because
right. You're
used to being flexible at the smaller firms. I mean, we're small, but we're pretty nimble and we're pretty efficient at doing what we have to do because we have to adapt from one day to the next and we have to be flexible and make sure that we're responsive to our clients' needs. One of the ways that we do that is just by having to take cases that we may not otherwise would have been able to take at the mm-hmm. large firm, or making pricing arrangements, billing arrangements with the client that perhaps you wouldn't have that flexibility at the large firm. So yeah, it is pretty different, but there is a unique flexibility that is associated with the smaller firm that really does help. Now, I will tell you, the downside of that is when you're at a large law firm, you have obviously a larger platform, a larger number of attorneys that are sustaining the economic
right. Bottom
line, right? When you're with a smaller firm, there's fewer
right.
of you. And so you've got to be careful about kind of how you do that. And you've got to plan ahead so that, you know, you're sure that it's going to work out. And so that, you know, the firm is still going to be financially stable during all of this. And so it's kind of different considerations that go into play, but you are able to kind of go a little bit further and kind of make exceptions and make alternative arrangements with your clients for the sake of helping them that you might not otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely some benefits to both and then some risks to both. and really kind of boils down to, you know, individual personality traits and career goals and career perspectives on what that person wants to do in terms of whether a large firm platform is right for that person, or perhaps a boutique is a better suited environment.
I think that's right. And you said one thing that just reminded me, Morgan, particularly at a smaller firm, the personality traits are so important because you're a smaller group and you better make sure you like the people that you work with, because you're going to see these people
right.
every day, and you're going to be in very close proximity to them. Much more so than perhaps you would be at a larger firm where you can get
more
lost. I don't like this person. Yeah, I can avoid them. I can just, you know, just go a different direction. You don't have
that
at a smaller firm. And so I think the personal dynamics of the people within the smaller firms is extremely important. And frankly, that's one thing that we have always been very careful of from the very beginning, as far as, you know, lawyers that join us. And staff that joins us, we're just very careful about maintaining the culture that we have and the personal relationships and collegiality, frankly, that we all enjoy on a daily basis. So that's really important. And it's an important consideration that I think people would be well suited to keep
Correct.
In mind.
Well, you know, it's important that you mention that. And I just may know a staffing company that's really good about making sure that, candidates are properly matched with their employers.
I know. And I'm thinking, I think I'm talking to someone who is very, very involved with that staffing
maybe
company.
Maybe so. Hey, Emma, I just have to say again, thank you so much for sharing your personal experiences as you, entered your practice as a lawyer. And then as it's grown through the years from big firm partner to now small firm boutique partner. I really appreciate that insight. And I can't thank you enough. Can you tell our audience where to go to find out more information about you and your firm if they have any follow-up questions or for any other purposes?
Absolutely. So our firm is Jefferson Cano, and we are, our website is www.jeffersoncano.com. It has information on all of our partners, our various different practices, and it has all of our contact information. And anyone is always welcome to reach out to me with more questions. If you're ever thinking of branching out and doing either the big law experience or the small boutique experience, I'm always happy to visit about people, but my experience and give any general guidance that I can.
Thank you, Emma. That's one of the things that makes you such a great person, in addition to being a good lawyer. You're so generous with your time. And there you have it, guys and gals, some really important information for you to chew on, because that's an important career decision. And if you're having more questions, feel free to call her or contact me.
Thanks, everyone, for joining this episode of Preferred Perspectives. Make sure to catch our next episode by subscribing via your favorite podcasting service and following Preferred Counsel on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, this is Morgan Mattson signing off. For more information about Preferred Counsel and its services, visit preferredcounsel.net.